We've been going through a time. You may remember on January the 13th, I stood before you and I said that I was going to talk for 10 minutes about what I called the going forward talk before the sermon. Well, I said that it was 10 minutes. I don't know if you noticed, it was actually 17. But people keep talking about it like it was 10 minutes. So I fooled you. Now, today's sermon is only going to be about 8 minutes long. Okay. So going forward, I want to remind you what I said on that day, among many things. One of the things I said to you is that this is a time of discernment. Now through May is a time of discernment for me, for you. And together as a church, we are trying to understand and hear the voice of God speaking to us through His Spirit, through each other, through Scripture. We're trying to hear what God is saying to us about how we are going to go forward now that there is a change. There has to be a change because the pastor, Stephen, is gone. So we'd be foolish to try and continue business as usual now that there is something that significant that has happened. So it's a time of discernment for all of us to lean in and to listen. And so what I said on that day was that I was going to be going around and trying to visit all of you. Now, I didn't get to all of you yet. I got to about 45 different people or homes of people that that I visited. I don't know if you are good at math, but that's a lot. And I've had some wonderful food, some great tea, coffee, all kinds of stuff. I've really enjoyed getting to know you folks in a whole new way than I have before. I've been around now almost 7 years, but I feel like I'm getting to know you all over again, and it's been fun. And I want to thank you for your words of encouragement and the enthusiasm you've shown, as well the honesty and sometimes pain that you've brought into our conversations. I appreciate all of that. It's helped me to understand where we are as a church. What I want to do today, and this is happening across all three of our sites, in Cornwall and in Montague as well, where we are looking at where each site is specifically and saying, this is where we are, here and now. This is the state of the union, so to speak. This is where we are at, what's going well, maybe what's not going well, and we're going to be talking about some of the things we are sensing that God is leading us towards. It's especially significant for us here today in Stratford because of the change that's going on. And so there are going to be some things that I say that I hope will really encourage you. There will be other things that may challenge you. But I want you to please understand, I'm not here to make anybody's life difficult. And you may know that if you've ever gone to a doctor, sometimes the doctor gives you news you don't want to hear. But there's no point getting mad at the doctor. Okay? Now, if you still want to write me an angry email, you can do that. You just don't have to press send. All right. So now I want to talk to you about four things that I've seen as some potential as I've met with you. Now, I want to say again, if I haven't met with you yet, I will still, if you want me to. I've really kind of randomly gone around. I haven't had a great strategy to it. I've just been trying to meet people based on area or time or whatever circumstance happens. So if I haven't got to you, you're not at all slighted in any way, I hope. I want to talk to you about the potential that I've seen and heard. The first one I want to say is just kind of obvious, and I've mentioned this before. I think our location has incredible potential. We are here in a neighborhood where there are many, many people within walking distance of us. That's not the case of every church around Atlantic Canada. We have an incredible neighborhood. We have a neighborhood that is growing, a town that is growing rapidly. That's an incredible opportunity for us as a church to be part of that growth, to be part of that life. We have a great building. You know what? When I was on vacation last week, I just took a couple days off, and I happened to visit a church in Nova Scotia. They have worked hard and done really well with what they have. But it's an older building. And you know what? When I was walking around it, I thought, my goodness, I'm glad we don't have this. We have an incredible, beautiful facility with windows, clean walls. It's well taken care of. There's a lot of things here that we should just be so thankful for. That when we are inviting people into this place, we don't have to be embarrassed about it. We don't have to apologize for a classroom that's, you know, down in a dungeon somewhere that doesn't look like it's safe for children. There's a lot of churches with classrooms like that, and we don't have them. That's a great thing. We have a lot of potential in this location, our neighborhood, our building. As I talk to you, I see a lot of incredible potential in you, in the people. There are people who are very, very gifted in all kinds of different ways, in ways that I am not. And together, as one body, we bring incredible strength when we are together. Even our brokenness and our understanding and our experiences of pain give us strength as we serve other people, because through those weaknesses, God is on display through us. There are capable people who can not only say that they're going to do something, but follow through and do it. And some of you have been doing it for a very long time. There are people who are ready to serve. When the call goes out, people step up, even when it is a sacrifice for themselves. That is incredible. Not every church has that. And so I'm thankful as I go around and I meet all of you that I'm hearing and seeing these kinds of things in you. And this is wonderful. We have another strength, an incredible potential in that we are multi-site. Now, I know that not everyone understands what it means to be multi-site, but we have three locations, and together we share some common resources. And in so doing, we actually, here in Stratford, benefit far, far greater than we ever would. You know, if we were simply a church of 85 people attending on a Sunday, we would not have half of what we have. We benefit from incredible resources. Let me talk about staffing for a moment. We have a 20-hour-a-week administrator in Pam. There are not a lot of 85-numbered churches that have that kind of support for their pastors. I have the resources of other pastors that I can speak to who know you, who know this area, and who know what we're going through together. Every week, there's incredible leadership support and perspective that we share in that. You have incredible resources on our finance team that you don't even think about and I don't think about. And you know what? They are a high, high level of mind and thinker and ability that you would not find in most churches of 85 people. And our finance team is doing incredible work to make sure that this place and all three together are doing well and are doing well so that we can serve the needs of the world around us. We are incredibly blessed because of the support we have being a multi-site church. Even the fact that I'm able to be here the moment that Stephen is gone in an interim role. This is unusual. How many churches of 85 people have a pastor they already know on staff who's able to step in and fill the gap? None. I'm going to tell you there's none. There's an incredible blessing that we're on the receiving end of by being a part of this multi-site thing. We also have incredible potential because of the change that we're going through in Pastor Stephen's leaving. Now, for many of us, when we hear the word change, it's a painful word. It's something that promotes a fear within us. There's a sense of risk or danger, and that's understandable. But a change also means that there's new opportunities. And yes, there are gaps. There are empty spaces. But what a beautiful thing it is when those gaps are noticed by someone and someone new steps up into them. When a new opportunity is created to try something that was never thought of before or never could happen before. And I've been receiving emails from some of you just saying, you know what, this whole thing has got me thinking, and what if we tried this? What if we did it in this way? What if we did that? And that is a credible opportunity for us, this change that's going on, to begin to see God work amongst us in new ways. We can see it as a thing of fear, as a thing that we're afraid of and it seems dangerous to us, or we can choose to see it as an opportunity where God will do something new. So this is some of the great potential that I see amongst us here as a church. But now I want to talk to you about some of the problems I see. And I want you again to hear me say, I'm not trying to pin any of you down. These are the things that you've told me. These are the things that I've heard you say, that I've recognized as well. And you can say, I don't like the word problems. That sounds too negative. I don't care what you want to call it. It doesn't matter. It's a symptom. It's an issue. It's a concern. It doesn't matter. We're going to get beyond it. But we got to face it for what it is. We don't have to like the name that I give it. It doesn't matter. We're going to look at what's around us. We're going to look at the reality we're in here and now. And we're going to move beyond it. The first is ethos. And what I mean by that is how we feel, how we think about ourselves. And there's this sense of discouragement. We're tired. We're sad, some of you. And all of that is understandable based on the time of grieving that we go through as we lose someone. That's not unexpected. That's not a problem. It's just part of our reality right now. It's not sinful to grieve. It's a good thing. God gave us that process in order to heal. But one of the things I've seen that's more negative is negative self-talk. As I've talked to some of you, I don't even know if you realize how many times you talk about Stratford in a negative way. Not all of you, but some of you. I'm not going to point any fingers. Maybe I've even done it as well. But this is for all of us to consider. When I talk about Stratford, do I talk about it well? When I talk about my church, do I talk about it positively? I've heard that there is a sense amongst some of you as you talk, well, you know, that's just church. We can't seem to ever. We're not very good at. We don't have. It's always the same, blah, blah, blah. Now, I understand that some of those things come out of a reality you've experienced. But we got to make sure we talk and think more positively about ourselves. I want to say, I should have said this as I started into this section. These are not new problems that I alone have identified. Some of you have been talking about for some time, and Pastor Stephen was talking about them for a long time as well. I'm not saying anything against Pastor Stephen and his ministry. He took a chance at some of these things as well. He took a swing at knocking some of these things down. They just happen to still be here. So before you think I'm knocking something in the past, I'm not. I want you to hear that this is how we as a body, how you as a people are talking about yourselves. The other I want to identify is identity. There is a lack of clarity about what it means to be multi-site, and that's understandable. It's not an easy concept, and there is not one way to do multi-site. If you try to figure out what multi-site is by looking at another church, you're going to hear one thing. If you look at another, you hear another thing. It's different for us here than it is for other places. But as I've mentioned, there's incredible benefits to us as a church by being part of a greater collection. So we need to do a better job explaining those sorts of things, helping you understand that. But we also need to make sure that we as a body here in Stratford have a clear and unique purpose. We are in a different place than Cornwall is. We're in a different place than Montague is. And we need to actually act differently. We need to do things differently here than they do there. Now, you know what? I think about multi-site like I think about my children. Each one of my children, I expect to have the same basic behavior, the same standards and values. I expect each of my children to live in a certain way. However, they each have a unique personality. They each have unique experiences and live in different times from each other. Likewise, each site of a multi-site church is unique and special. There are things about us that are better than Cornwall. There are things about us that are better than Montague. There are things about us that might be worse. But that's okay. Because together as one body, as one church, we're stronger together. And when there's weakness in one, there's strength in another, and we help each other out. So we need to do a better job of understanding what our identity is as a multi-site church. We need to do a better job of understanding our unique purpose here in Stratford. And now these two are more symptoms than they are problems per se, but they tell us something that's going on. I don't think it's any surprise to any of you that attendance has been going down over the past 5-6 years, whatever the number is. Every year it's just on steadily down, just a little by a little by a little. Our high water mark in attendance here in Stratford was about 120 the year after this building was opened. And since then, it's gone down and down. We're now sitting around an average of about 85 on a Sunday morning. That's great. This is a good body. But we have to understand something's happening. That's just a symptom, perhaps, of something that's going on. We might have different theories, different ideas about it. But what I've heard you saying is a problem that you've identified is that it's a problem for kids. Kids will show up to a classroom and there's maybe one person in their class. And when that happens, They might not want to come back the next week. And if we don't have enough kids to kind of have that, you know, that collective body, then there's a bit of a uncomfortableness there for kids. Same thing for youth, for young adults, all of that. And if we don't have those groups of people, well, my goodness, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Children are where adults come from. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if I'm blowing your mind here. But if we don't make sure that there are children in the church, someday there's not going to be any adults either. We need to make sure that we're a church that takes care of our kids and our young people so that they stay with us. So this is a church where there are many generations and for generations to come. And I've heard a number of you say that people come, but they don't stay. And I think there's a sense of discouragement that comes with that. They don't know why. We don't know why. What's going on? I'll be honest. I'll say it right on the nose because that's what we're doing here today. I've heard some people say that there was a time or have been times where rumors were told and confidences were broken and people were sharing things that shouldn't be shared. And when that happens, you don't want to speak up in your small group. You don't want to trust somebody with what's going on in your life. And you don't want to stay. That's not everybody's story, but that might be some of your stories. It might be some of the stories of people who aren't here today. And if that's the case, we need to make sure that we're holding confidences, we're trustworthy people, we're loving each other enough that we hold those things tight. Finances are an issue here. Now, I want to speak clearly about this. This is not a comfortable topic for me. I know as soon as I say money, you go, ooh, pastors just love to talk about money. I do not love to talk about money, but it's an issue and it's a real thing we have to face. We're just going to look at it square on. Last year, Stratford brought into its general unrestricted giving $77,234. It costs to run Stratford $132,903. It's a shortage. I started to do the math and then I decided I didn't want to know. It's a lot of money. Now listen, I want you to hear this clearly. Nobody's coming knocking. We don't have any creditors asking us for money. We don't have the elders saying to us, we're going to shut that place down if it doesn't meet. That's not what's going on here at all. It's one of the benefits of multi-site. We have been carried since our birth here by other people. I want you also to know, Cornwall was at first too. When Cornwall started, it received funding from our Baptist convention, and it was a long time before it broke even. So it's not necessarily a bad thing that we're not there yet, but it's got to be a yet. We can't do this forever. And this is one of the reasons it's a good thing that we're multi-site, because I'll tell you, there is no church in the world of 85 people that runs a deficit of over $50,000 a year that's still open the next year. It doesn't happen. You can't afford me. I'm being honest here. You can't afford me. Not on your own. Not yet. But by the grace of God and the way that our churches are organized, this place is being supported and cared for, and no one's knocking on your door saying, you got to do better. I just want you to know that this is a reality. I'll talk a bit more about it in a moment, but I also need you to understand this part about it. When we look at this number, it means that as we look at the whole of all of Cornerstone, there are things that we can't do because of this. There are needs that we have for staff that we can't do. We can't hire people when we're that's a whole salary of somebody. And you know what? There's been concern. Some people have said, you know, Pastor Stephen said that he left because he was tired. Do we need more staff? Well, in Cornwall, they are busting at the seams with kids. There's 250 kids that are coming there. Not all on one Sunday, but there's 250 kids there. They have 120 kids on a Sunday morning. That's more than there are people here today. And we can't do all that we want to do in terms of staffing. And people are tired because of this. This affects our brothers and sisters over there, and they're holding out on things they want to do. We've slowed down plans, and we're going to make other things work. And we're stepping out in faith. We're doing all kinds of things. But it's an issue for us as a whole church, and it's an issue for us here. Okay? Now, I want to say this really clearly while I'm here in this moment. Until this number gets real close, or it even surpasses the need that we have here, I'm not going to be positive for any other staff here in Stratford. I've told the elders that if I stay here and I'm the guy on the scene, if we're not meeting budget, I don't want anybody else here. It's not responsible. It's not reasonable. And before you think, oh, geez, is Gordon going to burn out too? I'm not going to burn out because you're going to help me. I'm serious. We're going to meet this number. We're going to meet this number. And we're going to do it together. Okay? I just want to be really clear. Don't hate the doctor. Okay, let's go on to the next. Now I want to talk about there. So that's where we are here, and you're all like, oh, I'm getting angry. I can feel my blood starting to boil. I've got an angry email already composed in my head. That Gordon, I can't wait to get rid of him at the end of May. Okay, you can say whatever you want. I don't care. I'm going for it. I want you to remember what Stratford's slogan is as a town. Imagine that, with an exclamation mark, nonetheless. Imagine that. And I want you to begin to imagine what it would be like if we didn't stay here, but we went there. I want to begin painting a picture for you of what this church can be like, and to have your imagination set on that, where we want to go. This is a short list, but you don't want this sermon to be longer than 8 minutes. The first is ethos, and I just want to simply say this is the opposite of what we described before. What if we saw this as a place that we were happy to come to, where we were positive, and when we talked about it with other people, we said, I love my church. That's the kind of place we want to be. That's the kind of church we want to be, the kind of community, and I know some of you feel that way now. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing, but let's all be there. What if we could all be saying that positive, where we encouraged each other? When we see that someone is serving and they're doing the role for year after year after year, that we encourage them and say, you are serving with such grace and kindness. And I just want to say thank you. I'm so grateful for you. What if we did that for each other more than we do now? What if we looked for opportunities to encourage the young children and the young adults that are here and to bless them so that they see this as their home, as their family? What if we were engaged in leadership because we just loved this place so much that we had new elders? We only have one elder here in Stratford right now. We need more. What if we were able to raise up other leaders in worship? Michaela led last week. I wish I could have been here to hear you, Michaela. I think it was just a wonderful time from what I heard from many of you to see a new person step up in leadership, blessing the church. What a wonderful thing that is. And what if we saw children here? So like when kids showed up, they just were running to meet their friends, not worried about who was going to be here. What if we had an identity where we know who we are and what we're here for? Where we recognize God's unique mission here in Stratford and where we are living out our daily lives and we're living together as a church for God's glory? What if we had that clear sense of identity about who we are and what we're about? That would be a wonderful thing. It would give us such a clear perspective on what God is doing around us, and we would begin to see him work in new ways that we can't even imagine today. What if our attendance, what if we were composed of our neighbors, the people here in the subdivision? What if we saw more of our neighbors who are new Canadians and young people and young adults? What if we saw them coming into this place because they saw it as a place they wanted to be? What if all the generations that we have, young, old, were just finding themselves here in this place? What if every nation that's here gathered in our neighborhood gathered here together? Some of you were here for an event that I had here at the end of January, the All Nations Night. What an incredible thing it was to see 17 different nationalities here together in one place. And the card for that day that I handed out said, the words of the Lord which say, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. What if we were composed of every nationality, every stripe, every color, every culture that there is surrounding us was reflected here within us as a body? What a wonderful thing that would be. And I'll tell you something else. If we had more people staying, that means hopefully there's more people giving, and that helps solve some of the issues of finances as well. And what if we just saw ourselves as not simply trying to meet budget, but as being able to give in such a way that we're a blessing to another congregation somewhere. Maybe there'd be a fourth site someday. I don't know. Or maybe it's simply because one day Cornwall is in a deficit and we help them just the same way that they've helped us. What if we didn't have to worry about finances when we thought about the needs of the church and hiring staff? What if we just knew we can do whatever needs to be done without restriction, without limitation, because it's just there for us and we know that the people will respond? That would be a wonderful thing for all of us. Now, before you say, well, that all sounds great. Everyone would love a church like that, Gordon. Like, everyone wants that. Like, but it's a bit of a dream. What if we did imagine that? And what if that wasn't big enough? And I want to show you now just how we're going to get there. These are just three things I want to ask you to do as a congregation. The first I want to ask you to do is simply to pray, to seek the Lord and say, Lord, begin with me. Lord, begin with me. If there's anything in me that I've done wrong, Lord, begin with me. Heal me. Heal my heart. Make me love you once again like my first love. Lord, Lord, teach me in my own brokenness to love other people. If there's been any way that I've been negative or I've turned against my neighbor, if there's any way that I've hurt someone or I have not done what you've asked me to do in this place, then God, begin with me. Begin with me. Pray that God would change your own heart so that you would begin to have eyes to see the people around you in our neighborhood. Pray that God would give you a heart for them and a desire to be connected with them in relationship. Pray that there would be neighbors that we do not yet know here that come and stay. Pray that there would be young people who graduate high school and stay here. Pray that there would be young adults who would get married together here in this church and would have children here, and their children would have children here, and there would be generations to come born here because we were faithful to what God wanted to do in this place. Pray that God would do something we can't even imagine. And that's the next word. I want you to imagine. Begin to imagine something greater than what you see in front of you today. Let's try some experiments. Let's do some things that might seem really different. We might even do communion in the middle of the service rather than the end. Some of you have even talked to me about, could we do church on a different day than Sunday morning? I'm game. Some of you have said, what if we were to do this or that, or we served our community in this way? What if everything was on the table and we were able to say, God, wherever you lead us, we will go. Wherever you lead us, we will go. One of the things that I've applied for, I don't know if I've mentioned this here publicly or not, but I've applied for some summer grants for us from the government. If we can do something new here where we have some summer students just for Stratford, where we're able to do some new programming, some young adults that bring energy and life and can shoulder us through what's often a dip. If we can do something new where young children and maybe some newcomers to Canada from our neighborhood come into this place and find a sense of community through the summer months, can you imagine what our fall might look like? Can you imagine how God might start to work and stir something up in our community around us? And Blooming House, what an incredible thing. You've heard this if you were at the annual meeting and or you saw the handout the next week. Blooming House is now a shelter for women who are in difficult spots, who are in transition. And they have come to us and said, would it be possible for us to somehow build an apartment building, essentially, on the property here in Stratford? What if we were to somehow build this building and rent it to them, make it available to them, and they could serve broken women who need our help and need assistance? What an incredible thing it is when another group, another organization looks at us and says, can you help us? That is an incredible privilege and an honor to be asked to help in some way. We don't know where it's going to go. There are many other conversations to be had. There's some discussion about whether this can serve multiple different ministries, perhaps open door outreach, perhaps the pregnancy center in some way. But what if we as a church could be used by God to be a blessing to many different organizations, to many different people, that we don't even see here amongst us today. Can you imagine that? And we're going to share. I want to ask you to share with each other. I want to ask you to share encouragement. When you see somebody who is maybe discouraged, encourage them. When you see someone serving that job that they've done for years, encourage them. Say thank you. Be hospitable. We need to be in each other's homes, folks. I've been in some of your homes over the past 2 months, and by being in your home, I've gotten to know you in a whole new way. And my goodness, I've had some great food and a great time. What a blessing it's been to me. Let's get involved, not just in a little time after, which is wonderful, but let's make sure we actually seek each other out during the week, that we bless each other during the week, that we look for God during the week, that we point each other to God during the week. Let's go beyond Sundays, and let's share our resources. Now, I mentioned all the finances, and some of you, I know that might be a sore subject. All I want to say is this. Just consider your giving. If you feel that what you're giving now is what the Lord has asked you to give, that's wonderful. I don't know your numbers. I'm never going to know your numbers, and I don't care. All I want you to do is be good with God. And if you're holding back, if you're restricting your giving in any way, if you're not giving into our general fund, I want to ask you to give. But I'm not going to know the number, and I don't want you to tell me. I just simply want it to be between you and the Lord. And I know there's been a thought that there's a surplus that happens every year in Cornerstone. But I'll tell you, that surplus, it's not coming from Stratford. And I've already told you that as long as I'm here, we're not going to be hiring any other staff until we're close to budget on our unrestricted giving here. So if you want me to be able to run fast, if you want us to be able to move and chase this stuff down as a church, we got to make sure that number hits somehow. And some of you maybe can help make that happen. Now, if you're already feeling like you've given all that you can give, God bless you. And may He just show His favor upon you. I'm not asking you for more. But if you know you can do more and you know the Lord's asking you to do more, then I'm asking you to do that. Now, I want to say this. We are asking every site to do that. We are asking every site to do that because we all want to see the numbers float higher so that we can serve our neighbors more. When we get a surplus, do you know what happens? It goes away to other people and other organizations. We send it to other organizations in need. The Lord has a purpose for it wherever it goes, trust me. And no one's getting a fat bank account on your giving. I want you to know this. I don't ever say this, but I'm going to say it today. Last year, I gave 14% of my income back to the church. I'm in. I make sure that I give here. And when I give to the Lord, He can do whatever He wants with it. I'm not giving just because I have to. I'm not giving because I'm obligated. I'm giving because I want to, and it's a blessing to you, to us as a church, to our community, and I don't hold back from God anything. There was a moment earlier this year where I thought to myself, I don't know if I can afford to keep giving at this level. And I decided, He hasn't failed me yet. And I don't want you to think I'm obviously having enough food to eat, okay? So, like, I don't want you to think anything wrong. But I had to seriously look at my numbers. And I had to pray and ask the Lord, am I giving enough? Should I scale back? Should I give more? And the Lord spoke to me. Now, you don't need to go talking about that number to anybody else, but it's on the podcast, so you can just tell them to listen to the podcast if you want anyone to know that. But my goodness, let's all look. And I don't care whether you give 1%, 5%. If you give 99%, God bless you. But like, it's not about the percentage. It's about where your heart is with God. It's about whether you're seeking to bless Him and to bless His people and bless the world around you. That's between you and Him, not me. And the last thing is just, can you give? Can you give your time? Can you give your energy? Can you serve? What can you do to make this place better? What can you do to invest in this place so that more people will come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ? So that more people will know the gospel and the good news? What can you do so that this place flourishes for generations and nations to gather together and find transformation in the name of Christ? What can you do? What can you contribute? Who are you? And what has God given you to be a blessing with? And I want to just end now on this verse here, because I've asked you to imagine a lot of different things, and I want to take you to this verse that tells you something just powerful, and it's this. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to Him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And if you say, Gordon, that imagination you've got is just too big and it's too wild, well, I'm telling you, this verse of Scripture says it's not even half of what God's got. My imagination isn't too big, it is too small, and so is yours. But let's begin to imagine what God might do, because He wants to do even more than you can imagine. He wants to make something happen here amongst us by the power of Jesus Christ and His Spirit within us that we can't even imagine. What a wonderful thing it would be to be part of that. Can you imagine if we saw God triple us, multiply us, see a blessing to us where people that are in need are being cared for? Can you imagine what it would feel like to be part of that mission? To be a part of a dream that is far greater than we could even imagine today. And to see God do things in the lives of people we could never have believed. He can do that, and He wants to do that. And it's only a question of, are we in or are we out? So I want to encourage you, lean into the work of God. Let Him speak to you. Listen to Him in prayer. Begin to imagine what He might have for us. And then find a way to share in that. To share the word, to share the good news, to share the effort, so that we could begin to see not our dreams come true, but the imagination of God come alive in this place. What a wonderful thing that would be. That's something I want to be part of. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You for what You have done in this place, that You have gathered us together as a church. May we be a people who point others towards You. May we serve You selflessly, not because some excited pastor asked us to, but because we have sensed deep within our bones that You are alive and You are at work, that Your Spirit is calling people to You, drawing people into the good news of Jesus Christ, and that You have invited us to be part of it, to do good works through Your work in us. We want to see You do things that we can't even imagine, God. And we want to trust in You, in Your strength, Your power to do all of that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.